there on the coast. Bob, let's go ahead and take a little early break here. We'll close on a little early, and then we'll come back. We've got more people online, and I want to get to the break so I can give them a chance to talk. So let's go ahead and do the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
As a survivor of serious depression myself, there are two ways to look at the world, which is, you know, at the basic level. One is that when bad things happen, you look internally and you say, you know, what did I do? What can I do? And so on. The other way is, it's your fault.
Yeah.
And it seems that the right wingers are all the it's your fault people, and those of us who are liberals, Democrats, progressives, we are the, gee, what can I do to change things?
And I think that's how they got their foot in the door at the media. You know, they were screaming, you know, liberal media. So finally some of the guys thought, you know, maybe we ought to start presenting some of their side just to be fair. And, you know, once they got their foot in the door, you know, they just came barging in and rampaging around the place. And now,
right.
You know, say you're a liberal on the air and you're so, all of a sudden some sort of crazy person.
Well, first of all, if you're really liberal, you can't even get on the media, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be this wimpy kind of sort of halfway Democrat.
Alan Combs.
Like David Broder or Joe Klein or one of these, you know. But Democrats are at fault, too. Democrats are corrupt, too, kind of person before you can even get on a show like Hardball or Meet the Press or any of
that. They should get Noam Chomsky up there. Noam Chomsky would eat them for lunch if he ever got on. And I think they know it, because this is a guy who's not only highly intelligent but can also phrase things in a way that a lot of people can understand it very soon. They'll never have me on the show, because I'll just sit there and yell and say, how much money do you make? Let me be there. I can be just as stupid as you can for the same amount of money.
In fact, I can be smarter than you for less money.
For less money. What do you make? $5 million a year? I'll take $60,000 a year and I'll be on the air and be barely dumber than you are. You know? Good God Almighty! How much do you make? And I wouldn't even let him talk anymore. I said, you know, that's it. I'm leaving. You know, I just have my little say and I'm going. I've whored myself enough today. I'm leaving. I already feel dirty. I got to go take about 20 showers. You know, I think the more intelligent a person you are, and especially when you live in crazy times, the more depressed you get. What is it? Is it the Bible that says, blessed are the ignorant? You know, and I really feel that way. Sometimes I wish I could perform a lobotomy on myself so that I could just not know stuff and be happy.
And believe me, I have wished that more than once. But then again, there are pluses to being intelligent, skeptical, creative. You know, there's some bad parts to it, but there are some really good parts to it too. So.
Oh well, you know, I love understanding stuff that I can see stuff and read stuff and immediately pick it out and figure it. And of course, the older I get, the more I understand things, and the more I realize that I know a lot less than I think I know.
Because,
you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, I'm sorry?
I often give a little historical perspective in some of my little quip comments. Note to the age impaired.
Yeah.
To me, it is an impairment if you don't have the background, the experience. You know, those of us, I find it just impossible to understand how anybody who, you know, my age or even up to 5-10 years younger, who lived through Vietnam, who lived through Iran-Contra, who lived through the HUD scandals, who lived through all this stuff, could continue to believe the lies they're told by whatever powers that may be. I even have a problem sometimes with my significant other. He'll say things like, you know, so I forget what it was he brought up recently, you know, the New York Times says young people are for the war. I said, what? I said, you know, sometimes the New York Times gets these things wrong. I need to know who ran the study, what the questions were, and all that. He's, oh, you don't ever want to believe anything or anybody. I said, no, you don't understand. Sometimes the New York Times is right, sometimes they're not. I just find it difficult to believe what they're saying, and therefore I would want to do, you know, something skeptical. So he sent me a link to it, and we live in the same apartment, but we send links to each other. And so he sent me a link, and sure enough, it was a legitimate, supposedly, poll, CBS, blah, 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 you know, and everything. And I said, okay, now, no matter what these people, young people said, those who said they're in favor of the war, why aren't they enlisting?
Why aren't they enlisting?
You know, enough people to enlist. And then
there's your poll right there.
And then the next question was, let's start a draft, and then let's ask these young people what they think about war.
And you know, and I've always been in favor, and I kind of got in trouble with my roommate here about it because he thought I was advocating killing my political opponents. But I was saying, if we're going to do a draft, Let's take the first people to go. Let's take the sons and daughters of the politicians that voted for the war, and let's take all the members of Free Republic. Let's take all the right wing bloggers that are of age.
Let's get them first. College Republicans. Yep.
The college Republicans. Yep. You know, you support it. You go and fight. Hey, you know, at least I'll give you props for, you know, putting your money where your mouth is. But you know, I think that's the worst of the worst when you sit there and go and scream bloody murder about, oh, we got to go to war, this is the most important battle in our generation, we got to do this, and yet, oh, I'm just going to sit here on the sideline, I have more important things to do.
Have you ever seen the video they have at Operation Yellow Elephant?
Yeah,
the video of trying to hand out enlistment forms at a college Republican meeting.
I saw that. Guys, don't you know that these people have some sensitive issues that you must really be dealing with?
The one that I thought was the best was the young man who will be the next Karl Rove. He came out of the meeting saying, you know, we really would appreciate it if you would, you know, stop trying to hand these things out. You're making these people feel so bad. They can't volunteer for the military. They can't do it, and you're making them feel bad. He definitely will be the next Karl Rove.
Oh,
who learned from Lee Atwater, who learned from Donald Segretti. Where Donald Segretti got his training, I don't know, but possibly.
There
was a guy in California that worked on Nixon's first campaign and had his opponent wearing pink underwear because she was, you know, supposedly she was a communist. that probably was the originator. Because I, you know, honestly, in my lifetime, I don't remember anything that.
Well, you know what's funny is that I was on the bus last night coming home, and on the seat next to me, I noticed it said the Gore hoax revealed or something like that, and there was a pamphlet from Lyndon LaRouche, of all people, who's still in jail as far as I know. But I thought, and I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, if Lyndon LaRouche was president, I don't think even he would have done as badly as the current administration is doing.
Well,
you know,
he's
certified lunatic. I'm sorry?
You're probably right about that.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah.
And listen, I'll tell you an even scarier part. We have to take a break. We talk through the first break. So let's go ahead and do that. Agnes, if you're out there, please go ahead and let's do that. If you want to call in and get in on the conversation, the number is 1-304-658-5453. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. On Wednesday, Senate Republicans stonewalled a bill that would have allowed the government to negotiate drug prices directly with companies. One Idaho physician says that move could cost taxpayers millions of dollars. Jesse Russell has more.
When Senate Republicans successfully blocked a measure on Wednesday that would have shifted negotiations over drug prices covered by Medicare Part D from the private sector to the federal government, they may have cost American seniors millions of dollars.
The whole point of having a large organization like the government in healthcare is to reduce costs, and one of the big ways you can do that is through wholesale purchasing.
That was Dr. Michael Futz, a physician in Coons, Idaho, and a member of Idaho Healthcare for All. According to a report by the Institute for America's Future, by denying the government the opportunity to negotiate drug prices, it's costing taxpayers money. In Idaho, for example, the study suggests taxpayers are losing $137 million a year. Foote said the government does a good job securing the best prices for other systems.
This is the only program that the government runs that does not have bargaining power in purchasing medications.
New U.S. Homeland Security rules on anti-terrorism standards at the nation's chemical plants falls far short of what's needed. That's the assessment of the United Steelworkers Union after an analysis of the 200 pages of regulations that were issued earlier this month. The USW says the rules fail to protect workers and communities, don't protect whistleblowers, and don't require companies to use less hazardous chemicals. The new rules also allow companies to avoid fully disclosing to workers the kinds of chemicals that they're handling. Northwest Airlines flight attendants picketed in Detroit Thursday to protest a plan to give 400 executives a 4.9% share of ownership in the airline when it emerges from bankruptcy. The executives are being rewarded while the workers who make the airline fly are being forced to sacrifice with deep pay and benefits cuts. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is fighting a court-imposed ban on a strike at Northwest and has asked that contract talks with the bankrupt airline be officially declared at an impasse. Northwest has begun making substantial profits much sooner than it told the bankruptcy court that it would. So the union maintains that the steep concessions from workers are no longer needed. A horrific accident has left 32 workers dead in China. More than 25 tons of molten steel spilled into a room where workers were in the midst of a shift change after the pouring pot slipped off a rail. The bodies of the workers were charred beyond recognition, and DNA tests will be needed to determine identities. Four workers have been detained pending an investigation at that plant.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Don't remember the words, but don't go out.
Okay, how's everybody doing? Haven't heard that one in a while. We haven't played that. Have we played that often? I don't remember hearing that one so often. I've got a bunch of these little musical karaoke clips that I play, and I really like the music that I picked out for the show, and a lot of other people do too, and I'm glad about that because, you know, I like to hear people talk nice to me. Okay, we're talking with Carol Kay, and since we have her on the show, let's let her go on. Now, another big thing that went on during the week was the Supreme Court, the decision 5-4 yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, to say that the partial, well, I don't even want to call it that, the dilation thing, the procedure is they can pass laws to make it illegal now. Another step backwards for us.
D and X is the procedure, and they upheld a law passed by the Senate, by the Congress, and I guess it must have been signed by it was anti-abortion, so of course Bush signed it. Passed by a Republican Congress, signed by a Republican president, given the blessing by a bunch of Republican justices, Republican Catholic justices, I might say, and it is not anti-Catholic to point out the fact that these justices are Catholic.
Oh, you know. Let me tell you something. I'm Italian, and I am ashamed to be Italian with Scalia there, because this guy is the worst of the worst. He's a lunatic, and I can't believe that somebody like that managed to get to the Supreme Court of the United States. Well, let me read what Bill Sherritt, Liberal Oasis, said about this. He said, this ruling is another reminder of what the conservative activists want. They do not want representative government that protects everyone's freedom to make their own personal moral decision. They want an elitist government that imposes their moral vision on everyone else.
Exactly.
A lot of folks went soft during the Roberts and Alito nomination. There will be no excuse to roll over for the next conservative activist nominee.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I was like, I was furious because I knew when Roberts and when Alito were being confirmed that they would be confirmed, that the Democrats would not be fighting them.
We all knew it. It can't possibly be a surprise to anybody who breathes.
And you know, anybody who pays even a little bit of attention. I mean, quite frankly, if you talk to most people in the country, I mean, you've seen, I think, on Jay Leno or somebody, they'll ask people a question like, who's the vice president? And they can't answer because they don't know. But for anybody who's even paying even marginal bit of attention, you know, you can tell right away what's going on with these guys. So it just drives me further. You know I've got some money issues I've had for a long time, you know, and I have to move because I have crazy landladies, and you know, so that's just another bit of stress adding on. And I got my paycheck yesterday that was only $500 for 2 weeks work, and I get one every 2 weeks, and I'm thinking, 2 weeks to earn it, 2 minutes, and it's gone. And I got to wait another 2 weeks for another check. And I was just getting real. And you know, I have to admit, I get depressed some seriously sometimes, and I have suicidal thoughts because my life is so stressful. Just trying to deal with this issue of simple money.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, why am I beating myself up over this? I'm working hard. I've been working for 7 days straight, and I'm doing all the things that I need to do to survive. And it's, you know, the things that are happening, while some of it can be laid on me, it's not all my fault. But what's frustrating is just not being able to do anything to change it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Right. But bear in mind now, and I speak as one who is experienced with long-term depression, that you must not, for your own health and for your own good, you must not let the machinations of the right wing and the Republicans and whatever become so important to you that it helps drag you down. You need all the good feeling brain chemicals you can get right now because of your difficult situation. And so what I try to do when they start on their crazy stuff, which is like almost always, I try to put myself in what I call learning mode. Because I'm still learning how to counter these people. And remember, the next thing you need to think about is remember that we have had some successes. You know, again, it's hard because we tend to think in all or nothing terms, like I get everything I want or I don't get anything I want. But the fact is that we are incrementally getting a little bit of what we want, a little bit of what we want. And we're winning. We are winning.
Sure. And I
clearly winning.
Listen, this tide is going to turn because, as I said many years ago, so these guys are eventually going to go too far because too far is the only place they can go.
Right.
I mean, because they don't know when to stop.
And they do. That's exactly what they did.
But you know, the thing about it is, and I looked at what I thought were big turning points turned out to be not big turning points. And I know things are going to change. It's just that I don't see them changing in my lifetime. You know, that's
well,
the way I see it.
You can't put a time frame on it. Again, I mean, you can't even put a time frame on your own situation. I can't do that. For me, the worst thing in the world is for me to say I need to have such and such happen to me by such and such a date. That is. Destructive. That is completely destructive to me, internally.
Hey, I'm just trying to survive day by day. You know,
exactly.
Do I have enough money to eat today? Yeah,
that's the way you do it.
But it does get frustrating when you see a paycheck come in and you can't save any of it, you can't put any of it away. It's all pretty much gone, and you know it's going to be spent by the time the next paycheck rolls along, and you're going to have
right
the same
now,
situation.
Right.
And you
now,
just wonder when it's going to end.
Right now, you're putting one foot in front of the other. And that's the right thing to do.
And you know, and what's sad is that I still have it better than a lot of other people. I mean, I'm not homeless, although, you know, I've come close to that, very close to that. If it hadn't been for Phyllis Euster, my wife and I would have been homeless there for a while. because she took us in, even though she knew nothing about us.
Yeah.
She was just someone who had worked on the Howard Dean campaign.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't even met her through that. But she was like, you can come stay with me for a little while until you get a job and get back on your feet again. And that was very nice of her to do that.
But
and we remain
good
friends.
Good people in the world.
It's just frustrating because I feel, I want to talk personally about this because these are issues that do affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm a burden on people. You know, I was asking my sister for some help, with this move, and she's, stressed out as it is with her own money issues. And, I feel like, I really should be supporting myself, and I'm not doing as good a job of it as maybe I should. I don't know, but half the time I'm so damn depressed that it really affects my ability to get a new job, and I really do need a new job because I am working. I just, my job doesn't pay enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are just in the same boat. And it's very frustrating to see all this. I mean, when you hear about stuff like how many tons of money, $100 bills just get lost in Iraq, billions of dollars, and hired his sister, Wolfowitz hired his sister.
No. His girlfriend.
For $200,000 a year.
It might be better if it were his sister.
And what I keep saying, look, I love doing this radio show, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I possibly can. But, eventually there's going to come a point if some liberal investor doesn't pony up, eventually there's going to be a point where I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Or the head-on radio network can't do it anymore. And for no other reason is that somebody wanted to keep their little fist tight on, what few dollars they have left. And that's not right. If they can make that sacrifice, and it's really not much of a sacrifice for them to make, then they should go out and do it because their money's not safe either. The right wing loves to say that like MediaMatters.com is funded by George Soros, which it is not. But I would love it if George Soros would say, here's $1 million, do what you need to do. We can hire a publicist and then we can use that foundation to build stuff on.
Right, but that is not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
I've been working on this issue for 6 years now. And there's nobody, unless you're already some kind of superstar. The person
right.
that could have done it was Al Franken. He could have gotten the big investors to really make a difference, but he chose instead to not do that and then to move on into the political arena. There are some other people who could do it, but none of them sees the same frightening scenario that you and I see. Some people are beginning to. Josh Marshall of Talking Points Memo is one. And what's his name? Kevin Drum of the Washington
mm-hmm.
Monthly. These are people who always kind of, held their noses up in the air at those of us who kept slamming and slamming and slamming, saying, the media are destroying us. The media are destroying Democrats. The media are making it possible for Republicans to get elected over and over and over and over again. And they just, held up their noses and blah, blah, blah. Well, now they're finally beginning to get it and finally beginning to say, this constant bombardment of little bitty lie and little bitty lie and little bitty lie and little bitty lie, in addition to all the big fat lies that don't get confronted. They're beginning to see now what an impact that has.
Right.
So, yeah, whether that'll be in time for any of us to continue working on what we want to work on, I don't know.
Well, maybe we can just keep doing it long enough to pass the torch on to the other people.
There you go. I keep thinking of what I'm doing as Chinese water torture. The steady drip, drip, drip of we can do this, we can do this, we can do that, we can do that. If we all work together.
Oh, sure, sure.
John
and,
and Marcos Melitzos and Josh Marshall, et cetera, et cetera.
Marcos is more worried about obscenities in the titles of his diaries.
Oh, really?
That's his big concern right now. And, that community has gotten so cliquish, and I really can't stand it,
yeah.
to be perfectly honest. Them and Democratic Underground, no matter what you say, there's always somebody, in order to improve their little social standing within that community, that's got to say something against it, you know. Say, I think breathing air is good. Well, I think you're wrong on that. I think air is a polluted thing and horrible thing, and you should stop posting these messages and not spending 8 hours a day commenting on it.
And
because that's what they expect now.
Properly.
That's right. You didn't punctuate it.
A comma here and an indentation there, and whatever.
And you didn't use the tags right, and then I fixed your tags for you, you can't. If you make a post about something, you have to stay here and comment about it for the next 8 hours because that's what we're going to be doing.
And
if you post something and leave, you're dumping and running. That's what they call it, dumping and running.
Well, that is what I do.
it's like we have nothing better to do with our time than to sit there and get into a conversation with these people. I mean, I've got a job to do. I don't know what these people are doing, but you know, I have to go out and go to work and earn a living. And you know, I can't spend 8 or 9 hours a day commenting back and forth. I mean, that's what the problem I got into way back in the BBS days, if you remember those computer BBS days.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things the right wing will do to you. You'll start off on a very simple argument, and all of a sudden it's ballooned out into this huge thing, and you're reading these 40 friggin' page posts and trying to comment about it, and you're thinking, I only have 24 hours today. And then you finally give up, and they declare victory because you don't, that's what they do for a life.
And because they won't stick to the topic, and because every answer to them is, Bill Clinton had sex in the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, here's George Bush doing everything that they claim Bill Clinton was trying to do, but they're all for it, you know?
And they,
well, it's because...
They don't
because of George it. Bush, it's all right.
I honestly believe these little foot soldiers don't even see the irony. This, you know, they're so stupid. They just don't see it. All they know is, I got my marching orders today. I'm going. But you know, I have to wonder if some of those folks aren't pulling some kind of conscious tactic at Democratic Underground and Daily Coast.
There are plenty of trolls out there that hang out to stir up trouble, you know.
One of the things I noticed when I, one of the campaigns I worked on here was for Christine Sigalas. I worked on the internet campaign for her. She was running for Henry Hyde's district. She had gotten 44% of the vote against Henry Hyde. And which is probably what caused him to decide to retire. Okay, well, the powers that be, the Rahm Emanuels and the Dick Durbins and the whoevers decided that the person who that it was a really important district, and therefore they should bring in a ringer, a woman who undoubtedly made a huge sacrifice for her country. Her name is Tammy Duckworth, and she lost two limbs and pretty much the use of a third limb, fighting in Iraq as a helicopter pilot. And,
right.
But, it was just like a gift handed to her, and they made it as hard as possible from the very get-go, from the first time she ran against Henry Hyde. They made it hard for Christine Sigalas because she wasn't a ball player, if you know what I mean.
I hear you.
She represent people. Well...
It's like Ned Lamont out in Connecticut,
yes,
you know.
Very
I mean,
similar.
And although the Democratic leadership did step up a bit for Ned, but you know, Joe Lieberman got elected by Republicans anyway. And of course, you know, here's Tammy Duckworth, a war hero, and all the war heroes you've noticed are on the Democratic side. And here all the right wingers screaming about how at Virginia Tech they should have rushed the gunner.
What happened on the blogs, and this includes Mighty D and Daily Coast and some of those, where you'd post something positive about Christine Sigalas, and it wasn't that the Duckworth people who were from the DCCC, by the way, we finally proved that they're. IP address was owned by the DNC, which the DNC said was, given to the DCCC. So we knew who was doing it, but instead they wouldn't say, oh no, Sigalas is bad and Duckworth is good. They would say things like, well, I understand your point of view, but but look at this little twist thing over here. You see what I mean? It's
yeah,
like,
concern trolls. There's even a phrase for that now. Yeah. Concern trolls.
Yeah, it's like what.
Aren't you worried
like
that they might think?
Do. It's what defense attorneys do. If the law isn't on your side and the facts aren't on your side, then you just pound the table and you sniggle here and cause this little bit of doubt there and that little bit of doubt there. And that's your defense, you know. So
I hear you.
This is exactly what these people do.
It's just a shame. It's a shame because they're hurting their own cause and they don't understand it. Listen, let me do this because we've got Sarge on the line here. Let's get Sarge on and we can because we're coming to the end and I do want to get Sarge on the line. Okay.
All right.
So I hate to break up a nice conversation. Hi, Sarge. How are you today?
Always happy to hear from Sarge.
Okay, y'all didn't have to stop for me. I was listening to you.
I know, but you're on hold, and I don't like to leave you on hold like that. So
I try to be a
good host, you know.
One time I was calling in the Malloy, and I was on hold all 3 hours of the show, and didn't get on. Called in the next night, was on an hour and a half, and didn't get on. Finally, the next night I got on, so I understand how it works.
Well, Mike gets a lot more callers. So that's the wonderful thing about calling my show is that hardly anybody calls me. So you can almost always count on getting on.
Well, we're going to try and do something about that. We're going to try. Every time I get a chance on my show, I'm going to plug you guys over here at Horn because, I support you guys 100%, and we should
detail on that because you mentioned that the other day. You will be having your own show on Nova M Radio, right? And that's great.
That's right. It'll be a Sunday morning show. It'll air at 10 a.m. Eastern time, 9 Central, and 7 in Phoenix and the West Coast. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm a little scared,
Sarge, send me the information, and I'll post it on my Unconservative Listening page.
Okay. Well, I've already posted it on the front page of Unreported News. So,
all right.
Everything you need is
okay,
right there.
I'll just go there and pick it up then.
And I appreciate you doing that because I hope it works out. What we're going to do is really try and help some people on Mississippi Gulf Coast, and that's what the show really is about. And it's not about me. It's about these guys down here that need the help so bad, and I'm going to try and put some of them on the air and give them a chance to tell their stories and let people know what really and truly is going on.
What a super idea, Sarge.
That's great. And of course, we're all behind you, man. We think you're great. I think it's great when you call in the show. You always add something really great to it. So
I thank you, and I hope everyone will tune in. And like I said, I'm going to mention Horn every time I get an opportunity.
Great,
Joe.
Great.
Thank you so much. I'm going to let you guys go. I just want to say good morning to y'all. And,
all right. Take care, Sarge.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you have a good weekend. All right. When does your show start? By the way, is it starting this weekend or?
I think he's gone.
Okay. I'll ask him in the chat room. If you're in the chat room there still, Sarge, which I see you still are, let me know if you start this weekend or not. So, anyway, it just really bothers me. And I don't know that much about how Nova M is running things. I know it was the original people that funded AAR, Air America Radio, but who got the show... But who got the network basically taken away from them?
Right.
So I was not very happy. Right. Exactly. And I was not very happy when I heard they were hiring a lot of these because look, I love Al Franken to death as a comedy writer. He's been one of the funniest guys on TV for ages. I love Janine Garofalo as an actress and all that. But these guys weren't real radio show hosts, and they were paying them a lot of money, and they didn't really need a lot of money, you know. And to me, it's just rich liberals giving money to themselves.
Right. Well, the Drobnys did talk with Al Franken and get at least some sort of agreement with him. But for the hiring of the others, all of those other TV people and movie people and stuff like that, they were not involved at that point. And one thing the Drobnys have done is I know them a little bit, and as venture capitalists, what they have always done is to hire professionals. If they see, that there's a market need for something, they will hire a professional to run it. okay, and they had done that, somebody who was very, very professional, and he was sort of pushed aside also by the people who took over. So so they ended up with trying to put TV on the radio, and it just didn't work. Starting this Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I just went to Unreported News.
Okay, and in fact, they've been mentioning it in the chat room, yeah.
The Nova M Radio Network, you can listen from there and from their website, and then 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central.
And they're streaming internet radio too. Although yes. do they syndicate as well to other radio stations?
Yes, they syndicate Mike Malloy, for example.
Right.
So
how can I get in on this deal? How can I get in on this
give
action?
Give them a call.
Who do I gotta bribe?
Give them a call.
I gotta go there. You want $5? Hey, that's all I can afford.
So things are improving. You know, when I first started that unconservative listening page, I had maybe 10, 15 listed, and then it shrunk for a while. And now it has blossomed out. There are lots and lots and lots of people doing lots and lots and lots of radio on the internet, on the air, by satellite. And so I know, you know, it... So far hasn't benefited me personally, financially, all that much, but things are improving and the situation is getting better.
Well, you know, I've realized I've been on the Head On Radio Network for over a year now, and I've been doing a radio show for like 2 or 3 years, so I guess I'm as professional as I'm going to get at this point.
Yeah.
So, and listen, speaking of which, I really do have to shut it off here because we are coming to the end of the show. Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. I love having you on every Friday. I wish you could be on every day, quite frankly, because it makes my day
on.
Go a lot easier.
That makes Steven. I love being on.
And okay, that's great. And you know, when the time allows, maybe things will change too. Because
yes,
you know, we all been working hard for the cause, and you know, while we're not looking to get rich on it, we still would like to know that somebody's got our backs, and that's
right.
Really what we care about.
You're right about.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks again, Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, and that's. That's going to be all for another week of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Man, this week went by quickly. Now I wish the next 2 weeks would go by quickly so I can get paid again. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Bob and Agnes Kincaid working the boards today, and my thanks to both of them for doing such a wonderful job. Our sponsors are, of course, UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Foxed Up with John Fox is next on all of your Head-On Radio Network stations. Until then, till next week, have a good weekend, and hey, hey, get back to work.
Don't chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of tray of gray, I'll lick a spoon of show. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is meeting with Iraqi officials this afternoon on his second day in Baghdad. Gates is warning that America's support for the war is waning and Iraq's leaders must do more to solve their country's problems. Two British soldiers have been killed in southeastern Iraq a day after turning control of the province over to Iraqi security forces. Rocket fire last night killed one U.S. Marine and wounded two others. The incident occurred in a coalition base south of Baghdad. The Board of Directors for the World Bank today announced an investigation into the controversy surrounding Bank President Paul Wolfowitz and the promotion of his girlfriend. Yesterday, the bank's managing director called for Wolfowitz's resignation. The U.N. says Somalia is on the brink of unprecedented disaster as government-backed Ethiopian troops battle in Islamic insurgents in Mogadishu. Aid workers say the capital city is all but deserted except for fighters. More than 200,000 residents have fled into the countryside where they are dying from disease and starvation. North and South Korean trade negotiators assembled today to discuss food aid for the poverty-stricken Pyongyang. North Korea has demanded 400,000 tons of rice. South Korea wants to tie humanitarian aid to the North's nuclear disarmament. Two important national elections will be held over the weekend. Polls indicate France's presidential election Sunday is too close to call. International election monitors say they expect violence to erupt in Nigeria's national election tomorrow. In Georgia, firefighters continue to battle two wildfires threatening one of America's most important wetlands. The fires have scorched 50 square miles and destroyed 18 homes. More than 1,000 people have been evacuated. Virginia's governor has appointed an independent committee to investigate the Virginia massacre. Also today, the first memorial services were held in Blacksburg, honoring victims of Monday's mass murder. In Littleton, Colorado, Columbine High School was closed today.